Okay. Just be, I want to, I don't do a great job in these discussions spending time in the Bible. And I want to make sure we get some Bible time here. So to do so, if you have your Bibles, that's helpful. I do want to point out this idea of substitution. The idea of substitution is actually all throughout the Bible. And I just want to highlight where those places occur. So, although there is no word substitute in the Bible, the idea is actually all throughout. And so, one first off, I want to give you an opportunity. Can you think of any stories in the Bible that speak of substitution where one person actually takes the hit for another person?
Abraham and Isaac.
Yep. Abraham and Isaac. That's Genesis chapter 22. That was the first example that is helpful to think about. Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. Now this story is an interesting story. It's one in which Abraham takes this son that's been promised for so many years, and God asks him to go and sacrifice him up on a mountain. It was about a 3-day journey to go ahead and do the sacrifice. So he had a long time to think about it. Man, can you imagine that, thinking about that? And then a substitute is provided, and Isaac's life is spared just in the nick of time. So that's a good example. Anyone else can think of a good example, Bob?
What about Jesus and Barabbas?
Jesus and Barabbas. Yeah.
What?
That's another really good example where Barabbas is a criminal for insurrection, I believe, against the government, and Jesus has not committed a crime. And so, of course, when we read the story of Isaac, we should also think of Jesus and Barabbas too, shouldn't we? That's really what it's doing. It's asking us to put Jesus into the story.
In a way, Ruth also became a sacrifice.
Okay, how's that?
Well, if you think about kind of what happened around her mother-in-law, she became basically husband, son, and everything after all of the males in the family died. And then, although she could have gone off and had a very fine life all on her own, she chose to remain with her mother-in-law and, you know, become her a keeper in a sense.
Okay. My God will be your God. Your people will be my people. That is that text there from Ruth. Yeah. Good example.
Leah and Sarah, it wasn't planned thing, but Leah and Sarah were, Leah was wedded rather than Sarah, and I can't think of other names.
Oh, Leah and Rachel, you mean?
Yes, Rachel. Yes.
One I was thinking about, I just want to throw it out there, is the story of Joseph, one of my favorite stories, and Genesis 44, 33 through 34. You may remember this, that Joseph is, you know, thrown into slavery. He's in Egypt, and he rises up to the top. And the Bible says the whole world turned to Joseph. He was the number two guy in the world, is what it says, from prison all the way to the top. And so he's on top of the world, and those brothers come, those brothers that were so terrible, the 11 brothers. And Joseph puts a little test. He places the cup into, right, the bag as they're leaving. And as the brothers are leaving, you know, Joseph's servants, attendants go and they capture the brothers and they find the cup. And here's the text, 44, 33 through 34. By the way, this is Judah speaking. Joseph, when he finds the cup, he says, basically, Mal's joining us here. Joseph, when he finds the cup, do you remember which guy he wants to hold in prison in Egypt? Which of the brothers?
Benjamin.
All right, Benjamin. Why would that be a critical part of the story? Why Benjamin?
He was the younger, and he was his father's favorite after Joseph.
Right. Joseph knew what he was doing, and so he grabbed Benjamin, who was the youngest, and also Benjamin was also the son, if I'm correct here, of Joseph and Benjamin shared the same mother. And so there was a extreme love there. Joseph puts Benjamin in prison, and then Judah says this. Judah, this is 33 and 34. Now then, please let your servant remain here. He's talking about Benjamin. Oh, no, wait. Now then, please let your servant remain here as my Lord's slave in place of the boy. The boy being Benjamin. And let the boy return with his brothers. How can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? No, do not let me see the misery that would come upon my father. So Judah says, I will take the place of Benjamin. Now, the reason why I find that really interesting is earlier in the story, when they were throwing Joseph into the pit, where was Judah then? Why didn't he say that at that moment? The 11 brothers are, let's get rid of him. And why didn't Judah say at that moment, hey, guys, hold on, I'll be the sacrificial guy. Why do you think the second time he actually does it for Benjamin? What do you think about that?
Guilt. A lot of guilt.
I agree with Carol.
Guilt is powerful. Man. Guilt. Okay. But clearly we see Judah's made a change. And that's what I love about the story, is that it's possible for someone who really just thinks for themselves to later on in life, yeah, they can make a switch and they can maybe even take a substitutionary role. So